Welcome to Simmer Down with Brenda Anderson and Libby Summers, the podcast that's about food, style, and whatever is on their minds. And you are going to love it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Simmer Down. I'm Brenda Anderson.
And Libby Summers.
And we are here today with Philip Brown. He is a coffee aficionado. We've been together the last 30 minutes, and I have learned more than I ever knew about coffee, and I'm a big coffee drinker.
My head is full.
My head is full. I'm running
Philip,
over.
I can't take in another thing.
But he just made us a cup of coffee from Panama, and it is bright.
Yeah, that's the word. The operative word today is bright. Brightness.
Yes. Philip. Yes.
First of all, can I give a description of Philip? First of all, Philip's eyes are the bluest eyes you've ever seen.
You should see my son.
Oh my God.
His eyes are way bigger and way bluer than
Look
mine.
At it. There's a picture on we're at Philip's desk inside his little coffee roasting shop here in Savannah that is all tricked out in this very small space.
So, oh, but and we didn't mention the name. Perk.
Perk.
Oh, thank you.
With
Perk. Perk Coffee Roasters.
Yeah.
P-E-R-C.
That is it.
And we'll give all the information.
Yeah,
online,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So Philip's sitting here. He's got a trucker hat on. He's a total hipster
His
flannel shirt and his super cool black glasses.
I just buy everything from Target.
That shirt you didn't get from Target.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Shirt, and his hat's from Leo
Jeans. This is a Foxy Loxy t-shirt.
Let's see.
He's unbuttoning, just by the way.
Yeah, gotta represent.
Nice.
Oh, I need
one. Of my accounts, two of my accounts.
Plus,
there are places. That's actually one of the greatest things when your accounts are the places you would have gone even if they weren't your accounts.
Yeah.
That was my idea for how to go out and find accounts. Where would I go if I was just a person in town? Okay,
yeah,
let's
where
try
do
to
I
sell those people coffee.
Where do I want to hang out? Brenda and I actually went yesterday to Foxy Loxy, which is a new coffee shop here in town that sells Philip's coffee. And so we kind of did a little investigatory work.
Mm.
Without you knowing it.
Yeah.
Just tasting your coffee.
Foxy Loxy is terrific. Jen, working with Jen was perfect. I like to go spend a little bit of time with you and also with your business and see how, just kind of observe and see how best, we can work the product into what you do to make it easy for you. I don't want it to be harder for you, but I also want to try to figure out how we can improve every aspect of how the coffee is delivered to you and you deliver to your customer.
Brenda, really, do you like a French press coffee?
I think
I do.
In a word, yeah.
I do. I like French press coffee and espresso.
But right now, pour over is like the hottest thing
in
coffee, outside of maybe Savannah. So
the coffee that we're drinking right now is a pour over.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to have Philip take us through what goes in with the pour over?
Yeah.
Because it's like, is it the most affordable way that somebody can get into making their own coffee?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pouring a good cup of coffee.
I mean, honestly, right now there's an organization that's really important in this what I'm doing, which is not only coffee, but it's called Specialty Coffee, and this is called organization's called SCAA, which is the Specialty Coffee Association of America. They only of all the coffee pots that are on the market, electric drippers, they recommend four.
There you go. You got four fingers.
Yeah.
I did three at first, but I got that pinky up. They recommend four. Out of all the coffee pots on the market, they only recommend four. And mainly the problem, what we talked about earlier, is water temperature. So you really, in order to extract all the flavor compounds out of coffee, it really needs to be, water temperature needs to be right around 200 degrees. 205, it could be maybe 198, but any lower than that, you're going to start extracting sour notes and not nearly complex a coffee. Any higher than that, you're going to start extracting bitter components.
Ooh, I hate that.
Can
you tell us what they are?
Yeah, okay. There's one called
We can say anything on
okay,
this.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
There's one
Feel
called,
free to curse.
There's four of them, and I think I can only remember two of them. One's the Bonavita, which I'm very excited about. It just came out. It's got a really nice heating element, and you can get a glass pot carafe for $129, and you can get a thermal carafe pot for $20 more.
That's nice.
Paid by Bonavita, so
right.
I haven't, but I'm excited about an affordable, I mean, relatively affordable electric drip coffee maker.
Yeah.
The Bun makes one, and I can't remember, it's only one model of all the Bun home coffee pots made, and it's I think it's called the H G or something like that. I'm not 100% sure the model number. Please check the website because they have a lot of different models that aren't nearly as good. It's just one particular model that is actually good stuff, and it's about $130. The other one is the Technivorm, which is...
I've never heard of that.
It's a really nice coffee pot. It's about $300, $340, around there. It's great. Terrific coffee, but... from what I understand, no better than these, the Bonavita and this bun. I have not brewed coffee myself with any of them because, you know, the Chemex that we brew, the other two are ones that you would find at, like, if you watch like Cribs or something like that.
Yeah.
Or actually, only one other. It's like built into the wall, yeah, and it's fully plumbed.
Oh,
it's,
that's that.
I can't remember the name of it.
Millet?
Maybe so, yeah.
It has the... I told Robert, my husband, I wanted that.
It was like,
and he said, absolutely not.
Like $2,000.
You know, you can build it into the wall.
It is. It was like right in the wall.
It's countersunk. It looks really nice.
It looks really nice. Blue lights on it.
They're nice.
Yeah. It's very nice.
I've got a friend in town who's got one.
Very cool.
Josh Keller.
That's cool.
I don't think he knows.
But the great thing about a pour over is, you know, you can make amazing coffee with a Melita. It's $3.50. The coffee. Brewer we brewed with today, which is the Chemex, it was $30, $35.
Phil, for people who don't know what a pour over is, like, explain to us.
Yeah.
Explain radio style.
Yeah. Okay,
no visual aids here.
Sure. It's basically a manual brew coffee pot where basically you can either brew into the vessel that's included with the pot, or you can brew directly over your cup. Basically, you boil or heat water to the proper temperature. What I usually do is I use an electric kettle or on the stovetop. I'll boil water and then I'll let it sit for just a couple minutes to where it stops rolling. When it water boils at 212, so when you let it stop rolling, a couple minutes, it's going to cool down to about 200 degrees. It's perfect to pour over, which is basically you pour the hot water over your coffee grounds that are in some sort of brew basket or filter. There's a lot of different ones out there. There's a lot of great ones out there.
Explain the bubbling that you taught me a while ago.
Yeah.
The bloom.
When the water initially hits very fresh coffee, coffee's filled with CO2, and so the water's going to the grounds are actually going to bubble up when the water hits it, and that's the CO2 escaping from the grounds. It's very important to note because with any of these pour overs, if you immediately fill them all the way up, they're going to bubble over like a science experiment when you're 10 years old.
Yeah.
The baking soda and the vinegar.
So that could be a science experiment.
It absolutely is. It's one of the things is that's interesting about coffee roasting and coffee in general. And a lot of other things. It's just a great meeting of science and art. And I've learned a lot of the science because of my enjoyment of the art. But you really need to have some background in both.
I love that it's a great meaning of science.
Oh, so many things are, though, if you really think about it.
And that you're so right. When we saw the bloom, I mean, I'm a baker, so I get a bloom.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by it.
I was like, holy shit.
I'm
not a baker.
This thing is blooming. Yeah. This thing is bubbling on
it was
top of it.
I got very excited. I'd never seen it done before.
And, I know you did.
I love coffee.
But
what's the best way to keep coffee if you've got it at home?
Yeah, absolutely. Best way to keep coffee is an airtight container in the kitchen cupboard. Keep it out of the fridge. Keep it out of the freezer.
Really?
Yeah. The fridge and the freezer... The fridge is very bad. It's a very humid environment, so you definitely don't want to put your coffee in there. The freezer is going to change up some of the oil compositions within the coffee. And if you were going to buy 5 pounds of coffee and keep it for 2 years, you're certainly going to keep those oils from going rancid in the freezer. But you're also going to immediately kill a lot of what's special about fresh roasted coffee. So my real recommendation is buy your coffee from a local roaster and use it. Buy just enough to where you'll use it in about a week to 14 days. So buy a half pound, buy a quarter pound, whatever you need to get you through that time period, and then buy more. That's the ideal. So, you know, you have to kind of temper that with what you can do. Some people's like, I can't go out for coffee every 7 days.
Philip, you would go out of business if people bought a quarter pound of coffee and had it for 14 days.
Yeah, that's true. Hopefully they're going through it quicker than that.
If you don't use a pound of coffee in 14 days, you're not drinking.
Stop. I agree.
Philip, we talked about earlier before we started where you got your coffee background.
Oh, yeah.
And why?
Yeah. Well, what led me to coffee was I was in college and I was a musician playing with a band.
Where'd you go to school?
Mercer University in Macon. At the time, I was starting to play more music than I was actually going to school.
It's a problem.
I want to know what instrument.
I'm a drummer.
You're a drummer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I play other instruments, but not nearly as well as I play the drums. So we were making a record in Nashville and it was going great. And so all the rest of the band lived in Athens, except for one other guy who was at Mercer with me. So when we finished up at Mercer, we moved to Athens and started taking it a lot more serious. It was a great experience, but we were going on tour. You know, we'd go away for, you know, maybe a month or 3 weeks, something like that. And then we'd come back and you'd be at home for a couple of months or whatever. And, you know, we were certainly not making enough money to pay rent while we were gone. So so I needed a job and I washed dishes for a little while, but I was pretty tired of that. So I immediately thought of a coffee shop. There was this great coffee shop in town that had been established probably 4 or 5 years before. It was really rock and roll, but they also took it very seriously. Really cool place called Jittery Joe's. And
That name.
Yeah. They got it from a Simpsons episode, which is really funny. Anyway, so I started working there and was a barista for a while, and then they made me assistant manager, and then they made me manager, and then, slowly but surely, we went away a little bit less on tour, and then they gave me another shop, and then they gave me a third shop, and then they sent me to start a whole new location, so they sent me to this new location, started that one, then they franchised, and I wrote the franchise manual for the employees, and then they had sent me to some of the new shops that were open to train the managers and help them get started. And at that point, I was just starting to do a little bit of traveling for the company. And it started to get to the point where I knew I wanted to get back to Athens more. And I started thinking, brainstorming with my wife a little bit. And
So in the interim, you've gotten married.
Yeah, oh yeah, somewhere
still
along the way.
Still playing music?
Yeah. I still play music to this day, yeah.
Why did you choose Savannah?
Oh, yeah, I chose Savannah. It was a very, very specific choice. When I was in Athens, I trained with Charlie. Actually, so that's when we never got to
yeah,
me choosing.
Yeah, take us to roasting.
How did you
get to that part?
So when I decided to leave
thing.
the shops, the proper retail shops, I knew I wanted to, I thought developing a skill that I could do anywhere I wanted to, all I needed was a roaster, and I started hanging out with Charlie a lot more, who was our head roaster. A friend of mine, Matt, who was actually the bass player in my band, moved to Portland to go work for a roaster there and to continue his music career up in Portland. So I knew there was sort of an opening in the roastery. So I went and hung out with Charlie. I asked him if there was any way I might be able to start apprenticing with him. And he said yes. And he said, not only yes, but I have the space within the roastery. I have so many people coming in here all the time wanting to buy coffee and this and that. He was like, would you mind starting some sort of retail something in this space here? So I started a little coffee shop we called the Tasting Room. And then we also, I also started apprenticing with the roaster at the time. Charlie loves people, but oftentimes it got in the way of him actually getting his job done. So he liked to roast really weird hours. He would come in the middle of the night. He'd come in at 3 a.m. He was a weird sleeper. So he'd come in at 3 a.m. and roast till like 5 and then leave. And then go be with his kids and be outside during the day. And then I would be there most of the day from like 5:36 to like around 6 in the evening.
Do you think the coffee intake had anything to do with his weird sleeping?
maybe. He was just, he's an odd guy in a really cool way, you know. Like he's a super cool guy. And he taught me so much about everything. And a lot of it wasn't even him specifically teaching me. A lot of it came from me watching him talking to the customers and giving them information, and I was just absorbing it, which is terrific. Just being in that environment was great. He's terrific.
How do you find the growers that you use?
There's a great importer out of Greenville, South Carolina called Brask, and he brings in pretty much direct trade coffee. Now, direct trade generally is when you're dealing directly with the farm.
Right.
Well, being small in Savannah, Georgia, it's really hard for me to get those kind of relationships up. But what Brass does is he goes directly to Brazil and directly to the farms. He actually helps with a lot of the harvesting. And actually, he brings over people that are roasters with him as well. So that's something I hope to do soon. Oh. So I buy a lot of coffees directly from him that are basically he's buying direct and then just distributing them.
So are we to assume that more money goes in the farmer's hand?
Yes, for sure. Direct. And that, okay. And that it, from Brass, for sure. He's, I mean, it's better than fair trade. I think it's interesting.
Does that have anything to do with like the butter shortage in Norway?
What the hell is up with the butter shortage in Norway?
I don't know.
That's terrible. Norway doesn't have any butter.
$20 for a pound of butter. People were getting them in their Christmas stockings.
They're on the black. People are smuggling it in and then getting arrested. Yeah. Why were you arrested? I was smuggling butter.
Well, back to why I chose Savannah. So I was in Athens. I knew I wanted to stay in the South. Savannah and Charleston beat everywhere out in beauty. So we really like that. And then also my wife and I aren't real big cold weather people. So
yeah.
And today, Savannah and Florida are the coldest places in the country.
Yeah,
it is cold.
That's a cold one. I'm sorry about that. My mom actually sometimes, she's been threatening to bring in a space heater. But oftentimes I'm right by the roaster, so I get kind of warm over there.
I was hoping you'd start roasting in a few minutes.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
But anyways, I saw... And when I visited Savannah, I saw a real opportunity for a bunch of... There was all these restaurants that seemed to be taking their food pretty seriously. And it seemed to be growing at a pretty rapid rate. The idea of sort of localvore food seemed to be... hadn't hit completely, but it was kind of about...
Simmering right now.
Yeah,
it's simmering.
Exactly right. And so I thought, hey, I can move into this place, set up shop, and get out there and work my butt off. And in a couple of years, you know, I can like Chabela was a great example. I looked at Chabela and I said, man, they have all this great stuff, and like they need a really great local coffee.
I have to say this because I always, before we do a podcast, I like trivia. So I always find these little facts. And the one that I really wanted to talk about was a show I saw on PBS years ago, which I could not find anything on it last night. Uh-oh. So, but it was about, and maybe you'll know about it.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you're going to ask.
It was about...
Everybody asked this one. If it's what I'm thinking. Go ahead.
I'll say. How coffee really started the Industrial Revolution.
Oh, no, that's not what I was thinking. Okay, cool.
And I watched the whole show, and yet I remember practically nothing. But it talked about how when coffee really became quite the thing, everybody in their household had coffee.
Gotcha.
And, you know, everybody was just into coffee. Uh-huh. And the Industrial Revolution really began when coffee became popular, and they can sort of track it by the timeline.
Interesting.
Is when more coffee was sold was when the Industrial Revolution started.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fascinating.
People became more industrious when
they
had more energy.
They were so hyped up.
Like, I'm going to go do something.
I can't sit here anymore and just have coffee talk.
Yeah.
So I thought that was fascinating. And also, the American Revolution and the French Revolution... began in coffee houses.
Interesting.
The whole plot.
Yeah.
And the whole everything.
That's true.
Began
in
coffee
houses. Well, when I was watching, what was it, the Robert Redford Savannah movie, the one about the trial.
Yeah.
They talked about
the conspirator.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That's where they started that little. Yeah. It was
a lot of good things and a lot of bad things happened in coffee houses. Maybe that movie being made. I'm not sure.
Well, it's a movie. <It's>
I don't think it was one of his finest movies.
No, and I love it.
But I love that it was done in Savannah, and I have so many friends that worked on it, and it's so good for our city.
This is the third movie he's made.
I had a friend, one of my friend, my wife teaches at Armstrong, and one of her fellow professors just randomly has this beard that's like that long. And so he was walking around in the street and they said, you gotta be in our movie. And he was one of the guys at the table. He was the one that the whole movie long was he must have just had a back neck problems because he was craning the other way. You know, and all he did was like kind of furrow his brow. That was his, like, that was the direction. Furrow your brow again, man. But he was great. He's a good guy. Alex, nice guy.
I wonder if, thinking about the Industrial Revolution, Prohibition, when Prohibition started, coffee sales increased.
Interesting.
And is that about the same time?
I don't know.
1920s?
Yeah. Ooh.
I don't know.
So out with the liquor and with the coffee if you want to get anything done.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
and now back with the liquor.
That's for sure.
Philip, I have a question. If somebody is, if you want to brew the best cup of coffee that you can at home, what are the tips that you do it? What are like, boom, 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 boom. You have to have this.
Yeah, I think that in general, the thing to think about is to use freshly roasted coffee. Try to keep it whole bean until right before brewing and then grind it. Coffee should really pass through a grinding mechanism one time, and it should use a gravity to go through that grinding mechanism and then end up in a reservoir.
Would you buy that like at a local kitchen store, or do they have to get it online?
Yeah, I think you can probably try Kitchenware Outfitters. Those guys are great. They actually sell my coffee there. And there's another place in town across the street from that that's a national place that I would try maybe next, but okay. I would probably consult the internet before.
We always are about we're always about supporting our local people, and unless they don't carry your cookbook.
Well, yeah, oh no,
zing.
Yes. They have lots of French presses, and they have some decent espresso machines and things like that. And we're working on bringing in some of these new. Pour-overs, but
pour-overs are the rage. Like that's
they are,
that's
and they're so simple. They're so easy to clean. They're so inexpensive. I mean, if you know, for $15 to $30, you buy the pour-over, and then you just need a way to boil coffee and pour it over. Or I'm sorry, boil water and pour it over the top.
Okay, I'm not gonna act like I know anything because I've never heard of pour-over until this morning.
Gotcha.
I never have.
Yeah.
Where have I been,
Brenda? Where have you been?
I've been using my French press.
Well, that's a pour-over. You're pouring the proper temperature water over the grounds. So it's a pour-over for sure. Yeah.
But it's not like that cool thing.
No.
Like, I don't see any. Well, I'll have to watch for the bloom.
Yes.
I remember I went to a French press because, and totally not for coffee, because I hated the way the coffee maker looked on my countertop.
Ah, yeah.
A little more discreet. Part of it. I'm with you.
Yeah. So,
I'm with you.
I feel like they've done a pretty good job recently of making the home coffee pots. They've taken a little more design into. You know, I think some of them you even see when you look at them on the online, they say it looks sleek design, looks nice. Yeah.
And if you don't have room on your countertop,
that's true.
You know, you can only have so many things.
So grind, so water.
Yeah, grind the water, proper temperature water. So water control. You're also using water that you would drink. You certainly don't want to use if you wouldn't drink your tap water. Don't use it to make coffee. Depending on your brew method, but if you're going to, I would probably recommend a pour over, or you also want to, if you can, your dose as far as your grinds are concerned. I recommend weighing. I know that's a little nerdy and intense.
It's not, but where do you find out how much?
Ratios.
Yeah.
Well, I think that you use, the internet's a good source. You can use jump off points. Generally, I would say somewhere between 20 and 30 grams of coffee to about 12 ounces, which is about 340 grams of water, is a good ratio. So,
if you want to do a cappuccino or espresso at home, what machine do you recommend?
Okay, that's a good question. You're going to have, to be up to my standards, this is
which are very high.
Which are high.
Such a snob.
I am such a snob. I am. If you're going to do the milk part's what makes it tough. You can probably do a pretty relatively decent espresso without going crazy. I mean, a Bialetti can make somewhere close to espresso. There's also this new thing that's interesting out of, I haven't tried it. But there's the hand, I think it's called the hand presso.
My husband has it.
You have one of those? Does it work?
He has it, because they use it on boats, like when they're, my husband.
It has a CO2 cartridge, and you pull the trigger, and it.
I call it the Lance Armstrong, because it looks like a penis with one ball.
Oh, my.
That is so funny.
I'm telling you.
When I come there tomorrow, I want to see it.
You'll have to see the
Lance
Armstrong.
That's really cool.
I think all his sailing buddies have the Lance Armstrong.
Is that why he makes it? His is so good?
Theoretically,
that would make a good cup of coffee as long as you understand the proper grind, which most people almost always screw up. The most interesting thing about coffee, it really sold the deal for me, is somebody came into the roaster early on, and we were roasting a Kenya. And they said, where does that Kenya come from? And I said, it comes from Kenya. and you try not to be snobby.
Like, is that a trick question?
Yeah. Well, they just never really thought about it. And then I started thinking about, it does come from Kenya. This is interesting. And this bag that I'm touching here, how many people's hands touch this bag? Well, when I started doing more and more research about it from the time when it was crop, I mean, somewhere between 50, 60, 70 people got it to my door before it ever got to the coffee shop's door, before it ever got to your home. So when you go home and you're drinking a cup of coffee, it's just so interesting how many people there are in that chain, from the person who planted the seed to the person who did all these different things that grew it, that picked it. They are, every single Arabica bean, which is all the beans I sell, are all hand-picked. So each and every one were picked by hand, which is a lot of the reason why it's so expensive. Robusta bean, which is what you see in Maxwell House or Folgers, they're all much lower, thicker growing beans, and they can be harvested by machine at one time. But these all ripen at different times, and so they're all hand-picked when they turn either red, orange, or yellow. And so from being, you know, green, little berry. And inside of every bean is two, or inside of every cherry, which is what we call the fruit, is two beans sitting flat side to flat side. So basically, you know, there's just, I don't know, it just, to me, I really fell in love with the journey that you know, it took between being a cherry, a fruit of a little shrub tree, and then gets to your cup. And everybody in that chain has this responsibility to uphold sort of the integrity of what each person before them and that whole line of people did to make sure that it's a quality product delivered to your, you know, I just think it's so cool. And like even down to when I sell it to you at the coffee shop, and then you take it home and then you grind it. And your enjoyment of that is the fruits of so many people's labors. I just think that's just...
I think that's...
It's so absolutely... Cool. It's,
I love that you pointed that out.
It's kind of so baffling, cool. Actually.
And it kind of makes you enjoy it a little bit more,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's really interesting. And I think one of the things in talking to Ricardo from Brask is he actually brings over some of his growers from Brazil about once or twice a year when they're out off-season. And he likes to bring them to, like, Savannah. And then I would take them to, like, Foxy Loxy. And he can see his beans being enjoyed by the customer.
He's got a shiver.
I know. Yeah.
Not just because it's cold.
Because what's interesting about it is that idea that it's like you sent it off into the world and you never get to see what happened to that thing that you sent from Brazil or, you know, Indonesia. You know, it's just, to me, that's there's something just great about it. And coffee is it's a commodity. And what's interesting, I think people don't really realize, coffee is the number two traded commodity in the world.
I just read
oil
that.
Is number one.
Yes.
But if you think about it, a lot of these countries that are producing these coffees, they don't have any oil. So the coffee sales as a commodity is a really important thing. It's generally going to be your number one or number two export from these countries that we're dealing with. So it's a really, really important thing. So when you go into your coffee shop and you pay $2 for your cup of coffee, you can think about that. You know, sure, it's not cheap, but you're also, you know, being part of supporting all these different people and this sort of proliferation of this wonderful thing that got there, and the fact that they took care in it and took pride in it. I don't know. It's neat.
I think that is the sweetest thing to end this podcast on. Yeah. I love cool. that. And yeah. It means a lot. And for all of you listening, when you're paying your $2 to $3, think about the 50 people that it took to get you that cup of coffee.
And whatever you do, don't make it your New Year's resolution to stop drinking coffee.
What? Who would do that?
Who would do that?
I don't even want to
know
you.
You're insane.
I don't want to know you.
Yeah, stop that idea right now. That's just terrible.
The 50 people you're going to put out of business.
And you know what? Also, your family and your coworkers and your friends are all going to hate you for it. Because you're going to be
really grouchy.
Yeah, you're going to be a grouch. So... For their
drink
sake,
more coffee.
For their sake and everyone else's, don't stop drinking coffee.
Don't, no. And thank you so much. Absolutely. You are a wealth of knowledge, and I could sit here and listen to you all day long.
Yeah.
And drink
thank
your coffee.
Thank you so much.
I love to talk about myself.
Oh my gosh.
and we love to talk and listen.
All right.
It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure.
So online on Salted and Styled, you'll be able to see pictures of Philip's operation and a wonderful profile done by Andrea Goto.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for letting us come in and take an hour. And I have to say that Philip made our coffee through the pour over today, start to finish. We had wonderful coffee.
It was delightful.
While he was educating us.
It was bright.
In 5 minutes, we had a cup of coffee.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, that's something interesting.
And you were educating us along the way.
Two things you can't ever do is you can't unlearn something and you can't unexperience something. So if you give somebody a unique experience with a learning component, you can never go back. You've gotten something better than you had before. I don't know. To me, I think that's just important for a coffee shop.
I love that he passed it on. He paid it forward. It's information.
Absolutely.
So I can't wait to. Yeah.
Brenda, this has been fun.
It's
Philip.
Been great.
Yeah.
Philip is awesome. He just got his mail for the day, which means we've probably been here too long.
Yeah. It's tomorrow's mail.
Yeah.
The date is a different date.
Well, why don't you just leave the microphone?
Keep talking. Philip, thanks again.
Thank
and
you.
We'll talk to everybody next time.
Talk to everybody next time.
Thanks, guys.